It's nice to see all of you here today. We're so thankful for your willingness to come. For those who don't know me, my name is Rob Green. All right, well, then our task now is to discuss helping counselees or couples develop godly intimacy. And I want to share two brief stories to get it started. One was I'd been counseling a couple for a little while, and the entered in my office and we started our little 30-second chit-chat, but I could tell something was bothering him. Of course, I don't know what, but I asked, "Something seems to be bothering you right now. Is that accurate?" And he said, "Yeah, we need to talk about sex." All right, then. And he went on to explain that they rarely had sex. 2 times a month would have been a good month, and a bad stretch would have lasted several months with no sex at all. He was irritated about the fact that he had to initiate each time and was hopeful that she would be receptive, which obviously wasn't very often. She, however, was fairly content with the situation. But it was pretty clear that there was a lot of hurt and a lot of anger that was being expressed in that moment. A different story, this couple actually came because of their concerns with their intimate life. They'd been married for 10 years or so, and sex was a constant struggle. They both wanted to do what was right before the Lord, but it was a vicious cycle where she just wasn't really all that interested, but she was doing so out of duty. He really wasn't excited about the fact that she was participating out of duty, and so he just really wasn't all that interested either. And so it really became a forced thing as opposed to something that they enjoyed. I don't think their stories are unique, and I think part of the reason this session is in the specialization is because it's a common challenge for many couples, even if they don't express it right away. You know, many times in counseling we learn about the presentation problem, but we learn there's other things happening inside the home too. And this could be one of those situations where they don't necessarily come for this, but it is an issue that's present and we may need to address it. So how are we going to help? Let me suggest a couple of things just by way of reminder. Number one, be gentle. Be gentle. I remember Kevin Carson was one of David Pollison's disciples in the sense that he oversaw his doctoral work when Kevin was at Westminster. And I asked Kevin one day, "Could you describe David Pollison in the counseling room? I just really would like to know what that was like. I know David sort of, kind of, but I've never been in the room while he counsels." And here's where Kevin's words: "David is very gentle." And I thought, what a great way to be described, huh? As gentle. Well, when people are going to talk about intimate issues, now's a really good time to remind yourself, let your gentleness be known to all. They're experiencing significant pain, and that pain is to some degree defining their relationship. And if we haven't had to experience that, praise God for that. But that's not what people expected. And especially if you had people growing up in Christian homes, that's certainly not what they anticipated. They might have thought, well, when we get married, we might argue over which roll the toilet paper goes. But we might have had a disagreement about who's cleaner than another person. Is it okay to have something on the floor, or is it not okay to have something on? Can you have something on the counter, or does that need to be perfectly clean? Well, we thought we might have some disagreements about that. But we certainly weren't expecting challenges in the bedroom. And they have them. And so this is a very challenging topic for them to discuss. So being gentle. Ed Welch once said, "Counseling is false intimacy." And I thought that was a really interesting phrase. Like, what does he mean by false intimacy? And what he meant is that the counselee lets you into areas of their life that your relationship would not normally support. I thought, wow, that's a very helpful way to think about that. If I ran into my counselee at church and asked how they were doing, they would not tell me what they're telling me in the counseling room. And so it's a good reminder that there's a sensitivity that's happening in here that's different than what happens in the church foyer or even around the dinner table. Second introductory matter is while sexual function is normally an emotional, relational, and spiritual matter, it can be a physical problem. I don't believe, and I'm sure you don't either, believe that we should ever play physician in the counseling room. Even if you are a physician, you don't play physician in the counseling room. But this is a good time to encourage them to receive whatever medical advice that they need to get. It's not the normal thing, but it doesn't mean it can't be part of the challenge associated with your counselees. So don't be afraid to do that, because there's a lot of things that could impact sexual desire or sexual function, such as some medications that people take influence those matters. Diseases that they have could influence those matters. And so it's wise to let the physicians be the physicians and help them speak with their physician about some of those matters. If you have a counselee who that's not going to be part of their life, it's not possible for some reason at that stage of their existence, then I would encourage you to help them to grieve their losses. That's not really the subject matter that I'm talking about, but it could become one. Maybe one of the challenges that this couple's facing is as a result of some healthcare treatments or diagnoses, that those things may not be possible anymore. Help them grieve their losses. Help them understand how to have marital affection, even if sexual intercourse is not a part of that marital affection. You could imagine a person who goes through chemo and now is unable to function in the same way that they could before. That could be a very devastating experience for them. So you could almost think in their mind, well, how do I ever have marital intimacy anymore? Well, just because intercourse may not be able to occur as it once did, doesn't necessarily mean that all marital affection is gone. It just means that you may need to help them think of ways that marital affection could still be present and special for them in their circumstances. And then help them remember that this is not the sum total of their life, and so they're still able to serve one another. They're still able to serve the Lord. They're still able to make a difference for the cause of Christ, even if this is not a part of their life anymore. All right, now back to the normal situation where maybe that is, it's still possible, but there are some issues that are taking place. Listen well. Now's a good time to ask a question and let it sit. Let them answer rather than make an assumption. Many people who are going to talk about intimate matters in the counseling room haven't told anybody else that. Nobody else knows that. And it might be true that in normal counseling, we get to hear things that most people don't know. This is probably one of those times nobody knows. Their kids don't know. If they have them, their parents don't know. If they're still alive, their best friends don't know. Nobody knows this. So now's a really good time to listen, to ask appropriate questions, and to learn how they're thinking and how they're processing. All right, now with that kind of introduction, let's think about how we can help a couple who says that they're struggling in their marital intimacy.